Superintendent Dan Lund and his beautiful wife, Krista.
You guys know you've got an awesome pastor, right? Oh, so many stories, so little time. Man, God is good, everybody. We serve a mighty God, don't we? He is faithful. He is true. He is loving. He is just. He is kind. He is merciful. And aren't you glad he's with us today? That's the Jesus we serve. And so, man, 25 years, you two. Come on.
Yes.
Man, you three.
Yes.
And love the worship today. Jonathan, proud of you as well. Man, just so good to be with you. And man, you know, it was a 25th anniversary for a young man couple. And so he was trying to figure out what to do for his wife for their 25th wedding anniversary. Because that's a big one, right, everybody? 25 years is a big deal. And so, you know, he goes to work and he asks a friend of his, he says, hey, you know, 25th is coming up and man, just trying to figure out what to do for my wife. And he says, I don't really know. And he says, what did you do? I mean, I know you've been married a lot longer than that. The guy says, well, for our 25th, I wanted it to be special, you know. So I took my wife, I chartered a private plane, took her to a private island, spent a week there. It was absolutely incredible. The guy's like, my goodness. He said, that's a lot. He said, what are you going to do for your 50th? He said, well, I'm thinking about going and picking her back up. years is a big deal, right, everybody? Man, you know, my wife and I have been married 40 years last month. And so she's still putting up with me after all these years. Phil's still calling me a friend, I think, after all these years. And so, man, we have been. I think we met right about the same time the Ark landed. It's right about give or take a few years, you know what I mean? But man, we just love you. Love Annette. Love you, Jonathan. And what a tremendous family you got. I don't know if, you know, we're all across Ohio. I just want you to know we got a lot of special pastors across the state, from rural to city to urban, you know. But there's nobody more special than these two. Amen. So grateful for them. And for those of you that don't know, Annette's nephew, we have a special connection, right? Because back years ago, we pastored for 13 years up at Parma Bethel. And Bethel, come on. And so while we were there, we were looking for a youth pastor. And I'm talking with my good friend, Pastor Phil. And he says, you know, Annette's got this nephew. His name's Brian. And man, I think he'd do a good job for you, you know. And single guy, if you're open to that. But he's a great preacher, comes from good stock, good family, you know. And I said, well, you know, if he's anything like you guys. And so we wound up hiring Brian Hart. He was our youth pastor for about 6.5 years, Annette's nephew. And now he's my son-in-law. So I think it worked out okay, don't you think? So we're practically family, right? I mean, we really are. We're family. But man, we go back to youth ministry, serving together, nearly a decade of family camp. And he was the big Mohican at family camp, everybody. I mean, he was the man. And him and Annette were running the show. And we were just glad to serve and be a part of that team with them. And I want you to know, man, I'll run in your tribe any day of the week. Love you guys. Love you so much. Here's a little pic of our family. We got four kids, and the redhead guy kind of in the back left with the beard. That's Annette's nephew, our son-in-law. But we've got four girls, all in full-time ministry. Isn't God good? And in that picture, that was last Christmas. There's 7.5 grandkids in that picture. But since then, Brian and Hannah had their another son. And so this is our little, yeah. So this is their newest great nephew. And Judah, he is a trip. He's a funny little guy. And so we're just loving Jesus, loving family, loving this season of life and ministry. And I want to introduce my wife, Krista, too. Give everybody a little wave, honey. And she's my better half and my high school sweetheart. But I want you to know we waited until we were older and more mature to get married. So I waited until September after I graduated high school. So I wanted to make sure I was out of high school first. And so I was 18, she was 19, you know, and she was like a cougar. I don't know. I was like, I was chasing after the older women, you know. I was like, she stuck with me all these years, man. Things you thought you'd never hear the superintendent say in a microphone, right? But that's okay because we're at Pastor Phil's church. I know you've heard that and more, so, man. But after pastoring for 3 decades plus, man, we've just come to recognize the significance of days like this, right? They're significant days because they're benchmarks. They're moments in the life and calling of a minister. And pastoral ministry is one of the greatest honors. It's one of the highest callings, right? But make no mistake about it, it can also be one of the most stressful careers. And so great days like this become an anchor for the hard days. But, you know, my wife has been serving with me in ministry right along my side. And guess what? We're going to tag team this morning so you get to hear from her heart too. Isn't that awesome? And so aren't you glad we're in a fellowship that honors women in ministry? Come on. And so, yeah, amen. And so right now she's serving as our senior adults director as well. And so if you want to know more, she did a great job. We were looking for a district youth director for about 7 months. She served our network doing fine arts and all, you know, a pastor's kids retreat and 4 weeks of youth camp. And we're not getting any younger, everybody, if you can't tell, right? You know, I got my hair on a grid chart, Phil. I just check it every morning. R9's holding tight, but like L7 fell out. You know what I mean? We're not getting any younger. I tell her, though, I don't have a receding hairline. I just trim my bangs short. Is that okay? But, you know, so she's, we want to reach every generation young to old. Amen? We want to reach them all. And so she's serving as our senior adults director for Ohio. And because we've got a new district youth director and we want to continue reaching the next generation, but we also want to make sure we're reaching our seniors and valuing our seniors in the room. How many of you are over 50? Let me see your hands. Come on, right? Thank you for sowing into the kingdom. Thanks for your faithfulness. Thanks for being the pillars of the church. And thanks for praying for the next generation. Because guess what? If we don't keep reaching the next generation, there's not going to be a next generation. Right? And so thank you so much. But, you know, ministry can be tough. And I know some people got this crazy notion that pastors only work on Sundays. Hello. I was just reading in soulshepherding.com. And this blew me away. 75% of pastors report being extremely stressed or highly stressed. 90% reported working over 55 hours a week. 90% feel fatigued and worn out. 70% said they're grossly underpaid. 40% reported a serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month. 80% won't last 10 years, and only a fraction will make it a lifelong career. 91% experience some form of burnout in ministry. 18% say they are fried to a crisp right now. Isn't that sad? Yes. Sad. And 100% of over 1,000 evangelical pastors that were surveyed, 100% said they had a colleague who had left the ministry because of burnout, conflict, or moral failure. Lord Jesus, help us. Amen? Listen, ministry is not for the faint-hearted, it's for the big-hearted. But I want you to know you got pastors with big hearts. Amen? Yes. Big hearts. And it's not about money, it's not about fame, it's not about promotion. Ministry is about humbly embracing a calling from God to shepherd the church. In Jeremiah 3:15, the Lord said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. In 1 Peter 5:2-4, it admonishes pastors to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. For 25 years, they've been at this church watching over you. Amen? It says, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. They've been an example to this community. They've been an example to you. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. This is Jesus' church. Amen? Amen? The building's not the church. You're the church. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're the church. It's not about steeples. It's about people, right? But God has called them and blessed them with the privilege to shepherd this flock. He's put you under the care. And so Jesus, we know ultimately, he's the shepherd of the church, amen? But he's called under shepherds to come in and pastor geographical churches, communities like this. And I'm so grateful that he called you guys. That 25 years ago, he called you as a family. And to see you doing ministry as a family, what an honor, amen? And so when we study scripture, we see that same pattern from the Old Testament to the New. And it wasn't about being always happy or wealthy or popular for those who were called. It was about obedience. and servanthood. And it was about sacrifice and taking up our cross. See, Jesus didn't call us to take up the things of the world. He called us to take up our cross. Amen? And I want you to know that Pastor Phil is sharp, he's smart, and he's talented, no matter what anybody else tells you. All right? He's relational. He's witty, right? One of the most wittiest people I know. He's charismatic. Let's be honest, he is. He's charismatic. And the reality is that there are other paths that he could have took in life that would have been easier, and he probably could have made a lot more money with a lot less stress. But he humbled himself, and out of obedience, he chose to embrace the call. And we're grateful that he's been walking out that call here at Bethel for 25 years. Can we give him and Annette and John just a big hand of appreciation this morning? We celebrate you guys. We honor you. We celebrate you. Pastor Phil is here because of a calling from God. God spoke, and Phil said, "Here am I, send me," right? And so I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and my wife and I are going to share a message we've entitled, Carrying Out the Call. Carrying Out the Call. And I was really praying. You know, there's times in my position where, you know, you've got that message that you kind of use for pastoral installations or things, and you tweak it and you personalize it, and you know, it's like a good song. You sing a good song more than once, right? And so there's times where I'll share, but I felt like the Lord just laid something fresh on us today, and we've never shared this before. But I just really leaned in to the Holy Spirit in a deep way, and I just couldn't, this is where he led us today. And so as you're turning there, let me set it up a little bit. In the text, Paul's writing to his younger protege, Timothy, and he's giving him a pastoral challenge to keep the main thing in his ministry. How many of you know a lot of ministries can get off the main thing, right? And there's some things you'll see in this chapter that are specifically important to Timothy as a newer, younger minister. And such as when he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And yet, but at the same time, the principles he lays out are really for every minister, young or old. And today, as we honor the Andersons, I'm not saying that Phil's an old man, all right? Let's just clarify that, right? But I am saying that there are certain steps for every minister, young or old, that are necessary to carry out the call. And can I just remind every one of you in this room today that maybe you didn't have a vocational call on your life to pastor or to be a minister. But can I tell you something? You're all ministers of the gospel, right? We are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Every one of you are ministers of the gospel, called to take forth the message. And so I hope that while we honor them today, you'll also let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart from this word and see how does he apply it to you. And so I believe one of the reasons that they've made it, you know, so many years of longevity and faithfulness far beyond the average pastor's tenure is because they've lived it out. They've lived it out. So let's jump in and read it together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm beginning at verse 11. I'm going to read it through 16. It says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you, but be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And can I just tell you something? Whether we've been pastoring a year or 25 years or 35 years, there should still be progress in our lives. Amen? Because none of us arrive. None of us arrive. Verse 16. And then watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So again, as we honor Pastor Phil and Annette and their ministry, there's four reminders that Paul kind of gives us in this passage to carry out the call on our lives. So if you're taking notes, here they are. There's the directive, the devotion, the diligence, and the destiny. I'm going to share the first one. My wife's going to share the middle two because she's going to bring the punch right in the middle, all right? And then I'm going to come back and bring us in for a landing. But can we have a word of prayer right now? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, the day that you have made, and we rejoice in it, Lord. We are so honored to be here in your presence, and we thank you that where two or more are gathered, you are in the midst. Lord, your manifest presence. We know that you were here as soon as we walked in the door because you dwell in us. We are living, breathing temples of your presence, the Holy Spirit. But God, there's a manifest presence when we come together. We sense that in worship today, God, as we lifted up your name. And we thank you that you turn graves into gardens, Lord. God, thank you for the hope that we have in you. But God, now as we look into your word together, Lord, I pray that you would open ears and hearts and minds, and that God, today would not just be another day of challenge, but a day of transformation. Do something in us that would help us to decrease so that you can increase, so that we walk out of this place more like you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So first, let's talk about the directive. Everybody say directive. The directive. 1 Timothy 4:11-12. Command and teach these things. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, right? But set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and impurity. And I think what we see here is Paul's giving this very clear directive, this command. He's giving an authoritative challenge to Timothy, right? Which is why he basically says, don't just teach it. Command these things. There's a strong sense of that. Command and teach. So it's not just a suggestion, right, everybody? It's a command. And so then he gives with that some directives. And the first thing he says is, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. There's some young people in this room today, and we release some kids out here. Can I just tell you, get on fire for Jesus now. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, when I'm older or when I get married, then I'll settle down. No, you get on fire for Jesus now, right? Live the godly life now. Man, reach people now. Serve Jesus now. And so he's basically telling Timothy, guard your hearts. You know, and don't let anybody make you feel insecure or hold you back, maybe because you're not as old or whatever. But at the same time, he's telling them, but don't give them a reason to doubt you, right? You need to set an example, though. And so, friends, that works both ways, because then those of us who are over 50 plus, right, we also have to live it out, but we can't make the younger generation feel like they're less. Can I get an amen? Let's fan into flame the gift of God that is in them, amen? Let's encourage them. Let's build them up. And so one of the things I love about Pastor Phil and Annette is that's who he is. Right? That's who they are. They're generational leaders. Listen to me, Pastor Phil, that is one of the greatest compliments I could give anybody. Generational leaders. You honor your elders, but you build up the next generation. God bless you. Amen, church? Amen. Man, I love that. I love that. And so Pastor Phil loves people. He loves them young and old, and he doesn't try to put on a show for anybody, right? I mean, one of the things I love about him is he is what he is, right? You see what you get. When he was a youth pastor, he was crazy. 25 years later as a senior pastor, he's still crazy, but that's what we love about him, right? Come on. I love it. And it's awesome because his heart's so big and pure. And anybody that knows Phil knows that's true, right? We know that. He respects his elders, he respects those in authority but he also highly respects young people, and he thrives on the opportunities to pour into those coming along beside him or to lift others up. But then Paul gives another directive. He says to set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. First, there's speech, right? And this is so important because James tells us that the power of life and death is what? In the tongue, right? Talks about how even our words, a small word, can start it's like a spark that can start a forest fire. It's like a little rudder that can steer a big ship. Our words matter, right, everybody? You can have a thought, and you can take that thought captive and ask Jesus forgiveness if it's a bad one. But once you speak it out, come on. Now it's just not between you, right? And so we got to be very careful about our words. And Phil and I both love to cut it up, don't we, man? We've had some probably more time than we wanted here lately with some situations we've been having to deal with. I'm going to tell you something. Not only is he a great pastor, but he's a great presbyter, for those of you that don't know, right? And we appreciate him because he's gone the second mile in some situations. But at the same time, we love to laugh, but we got to guard our words. Because we're speaking either life or death into these things, right? And that's a challenge for all of us to think before we speak, right? Think before you speak. Then secondly, he talks about conduct. So speech is what we say, but conduct is what we do. And I think we all know that our walk needs to align with our talk. Amen? Nobody wants to follow a hypocrite. You say one thing and do another, you know? Raising kids, it's not do as I say, not as I do. We need to lead by example. And that's something Phil and Annette, I know they've always strived to do. They don't say one thing and do another. It's like that beautiful song, I Speak Jesus. I love that song. I Speak Jesus. And that's what they do. They speak Jesus, but they're also living for Jesus. Amen? And Paul said, you know, set an example. Set an example in your talk and in your walk. But then he also said, set an example in love. In love. And as we know from 1 Corinthians 13, we can say and we can do all the right things. But if we don't have love, it's just like somebody up there banging on the cymbals, right? Just slamming on the cymbals. And it's just like, what? And it becomes a frustration. It becomes obnoxious. Like, what's going on? And if there's not love rooted in it. And I think we all know that they love God and they love you, amen? They love this church and they love people. And that's why they're still in it after all these years. Man, if you don't love God and love people, you're not going to last in ministry. That's just a reality. Remember what Paul said. There's faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? And so thanks for loving Jesus. Thanks for loving Jesus. Thanks for loving the church. Thanks for loving people, you know? But then he also talks about faith, right? And so the reality is that the ministries they've begun, and I want you to know over the years, they've begun some healthy ministries, amen? God's used them to launch some things, and my wife will share a little bit and hit on some of those things, some highlights of their ministries over the years, but the things they've done for the kingdom of God, they take faith. It takes faith to step out, to try something new, you know? And God's still using them in our network and in this church and in this community, and by faith, I'm believing that the greatest days are still ahead. Just like Pastor Doug said, we're believing the greatest days are ahead for them and for you and for this church. Amen? Because how many of you know there's a lot of lost people around this community that still need Jesus? And so go get them, man. By faith, go get them. I'm believing that. By faith, God is going to use them to do greater things. But then Paul says to lead by example in purity. In purity. That's why I'm so grateful that for 37 plus years of their ministry, because they've kept their eyes on Jesus, they've kept their hearts pure. It breaks my heart as a superintendent to have to go into situations where there's been moral failure, a lack of financial integrity, or somebody made one mistake, and then as soon as, how many of you know, as soon as you put a little foot in the door, you give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile, won't he? And none of us are perfect, but I'm telling you, it breaks my heart to go into situations and have to, you know, minister to the board and to the congregation and walk them through the pain of a minister who has failed. A ministry has fallen away who did not maintain a pure heart. But praise God, 37 years of purity, faithfulness. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's something to applaud. Come on. And I challenge you, Phil. I've often said this. The person I trust the least is myself. Because the minute I start thinking it'll never be me, I set myself up to fail. So I just challenge you, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Keep yourself accountable. There's not a password in anything I've got that my wife doesn't have. Come on. Like, live your life with nothing to hide. Amen? Live your life that way. It's so much easier. You start trying to cover yourself up. I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't do it because my memory is not good enough. I couldn't even remember the lies I told, right? Phil, you're probably smart enough, but don't do it. Just don't do it. What the psalmist say? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, right? And some versions say a pure heart. But that only happens as we take up our cross and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We keep ourselves in the Word. We keep our knees in prayer, right? See, our purity is spiritually grounded in Christ Jesus. But it also has to be practically lived out through our everyday choices. So I'm grateful that they have continued to choose Jesus every single day. So Paul gives these clear directives, and whether you're a pastor, a leader, or an attendee, those same directives apply to you. And then secondly, give it up for my better half as she comes to share today.
Amen. All right. So we just covered directive. That directive word can also mean command, as you see in that scripture, right? God commands us. Secondly, we're going to talk about devotion. And you guys have been devoted. You have been devoted to the call that God placed on your life. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Don't neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." See, listen, all of us could take this verse and apply it to our own life, couldn't we? Right? But God, through their livelihood, has called this family to be in a special role, to be able to not only teach, guide, and lead you, but they have a responsibility to the community as well, to make sure that they are publicly reading Scripture and preaching the good news of Jesus. Now, this is often referred to as the Great Commission. I'm sure you've heard that, and that's found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." In other words, go public, preach, and teach, right? I'm so grateful that you have a pastor that wants to go public with his faith, and you have a pastor's family that has not turned this place into a social club. They are about Jesus, and they love Jesus. Now, they like to have a lot of fun, but I want you to know who created fun: Jesus. Jesus likes to have fun. You have pastors that serve the community and serve publicly, and they have a desire to be the church outside of these four walls. That's being the church, because see, y'all are the church. This is just a building that facilitates ministry, but you are the church. And for church to really happen, you got to go outside of these walls. They have a desire to reach Kent State University, and that desire even realized into a staff position for a Chi Alpha missionary to Kent State. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you so much to you and your husband. And that beautiful baby girl, oh, she's got hair, doesn't she? For days. I love it. They have a desire to be connected in the community so they can increase their influence for the kingdom and Jesus' name can be known. You know, Phil, I have always had a desire. I thought you and I would make a great tag team door-to-door witnessing machine, all right? Now, there was a time my husband and I did that. We were in Detroit, and the little meeting they have ahead of time to tell you what to do and what not to do, and they were super clear. Praise God, they were so good, you know, and I understood everything. And one of the things they said is never, 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 never go inside their house if they invite you in. Well, that's reasonable, right? Well, this gentleman, we go and knock on the door, and our line was very simple. We just were asking people if we could share with them a few minutes about Jesus. We got right to the punchline. And this gentleman said, okay. He goes, "Why don't you come in?" And I looked at Dan, and we looked at each other, and we were like, we got this. We're partners, so we'll go in and help each other, right? So we sit down, and he asks me, "Do we want anything to drink?" And on the table, I know now what it was, but it was this big glass jar with a skinny neck, and it had some brown liquid in it, and I thought, ooh, that looks nasty. So I said no, but he opened the cupboard. I said, "Water would be fine," and he opened the cupboard, and a cockroach came out. So I was like, you know, all of a sudden, I don't have any reason to be thirsty, you know. So So anyway, we began to introduce ourselves, and he stopped us and he said, you know, I'm going to take you and your husband into the basement and tie you up. True story. And I just didn't think that was funny. And so I looked at him and I said, sir, that is not funny. And I said, hell isn't funny. And that's ultimately what we'd like to talk to you about. Now, the whole time I say that, my husband's kneeing me under the table. Like, shut your mouth. This is serious. But I was serious too. And I'm telling you, I cared about that community, Pastor Phil. And I told that young man, I said, now listen, do you want to know about Jesus or not? Because that's what we're here. And he goes, I think I do. So I told him about the Lord. He accepted Jesus into his heart. We exchanged phone numbers 3 months later. I checked with him. His name was Juan Garcia. And I said, Juan, how are you doing? He goes, oh, good. He goes, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I attend the church. And he was just doing really good. But listen, when you really, really are sure of the message you have, whether you're stupid or not, God, he will help us. He helped me in my naivety. But wouldn't it be fun if me and Pastor Phil did that? We could play good cop, bad cop, you know, and we just win this whole neighborhood, right? No, I love your heart for community and the things that you have found to do that is different, but that fits your calling and your church. Annette, thank you so much for how you serve so well right by his side. And Jonathan, I'm telling you, you are the apple of your dad's eye. And I am just so thrilled for you guys. I'm grateful you have a pastor and we have a friend who preaches and teaches the uncompromised gospel of Jesus. Listen, church, we do. We meet a lot of pastors in the Assemblies of God and out of the Assemblies of God. And pastors can be motivational speakers, and maybe they can draw crowds or stir people's hearts and emotions. And maybe they can even manipulate people to raise funds to build their own kingdom. But if they are not grounded in the full gospel of Jesus and teaching the uncompromised gospel of who he is, then it may be motivational, but it will not be transformational. And that's what you want to look for in a pastor who wants to teach the truth. And he wants to teach it in a loving manner, but you still teach the truth because that's what changes people's lives. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and then 22 through 24 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that is why we're grateful for you, Pastor Phil. You haven't relied on charisma or your witness and your humor. You have taught Jesus. You have preached Jesus. For the past 37 years, he has preached the message of the cross and pointed people to Jesus. So in order to carry out the call of God in our lives, first there is a directive, there is a command. Secondly, there is a devotion. But thirdly, we see diligence. 1 Timothy 4:15, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Listen, friends, I'm just going to tell you, without a sense of diligence, nobody makes 37 plus years without devotion, much less 25 years in the same church. I don't know if y'all know this. That's incredible, all right? A lot of guys bounce from church to church every 3 to 5 years because they ran out of stories and sermons. All right? They ran out of the energy and the diligence to take things and go deeper and to keep things fresh. Instead of digging in and getting fresh vision or a fresh word from God, they just pack it up and move on so they can use the same old stuff in the next church. Listen, my husband and I know how hard it is to have longevity at a church. In 2025, there was a poll from Lifeway Research. They found only 15% of ministers will make it to 25 years at the same church. But see, longevity forces you to do some things. I want you to hear this. It forces you to develop new materials and not just recycle the old ones. It forces you to continue to be creative. And guess what? We pray to a God who created the entire universe. Talk about what we get to tap into. God is creative. He is our resource. It forces you to constantly reassess the things that you put into place. You have to look at things. It forces you to forge deeper relationships with more vulnerability. That can be tough. That can be tough. It forces you to truly trust and lean on Jesus, doesn't it? It forces you to continuously grow, mature, and evolve. It forces you to be gracious, loving, forgiving, and patient. I want you to know that your pastor, Pastor Phil and Annette, have been diligent. They continuously hear from the heart of God. And they've been diligent to lead and serve by example so that you could see their progress. I respect you, Pastor Phil. I've seen the progress in your life. You've been vulnerable with Dan and I. And we know what you guys have gone through. But your diligence continued. Just even your testimony, the things that God has done in your life, you have always shown progress. Being a presbyter in this season right now, through some tough things, man, I can't tell you how many times Dan has come home and said, man, he's a rock. Yes, he just appreciates you so much. I've seen your diligence. I've seen your faithfulness. You've done an incredible job. Faith just doesn't sit on its hands. Faith extends its hands, and it doesn't just talk the talk, but it walks the walk. Church, listen, it doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not. None of us are. But the Apostle Paul says, and my husband referenced it earlier, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Listen, church, I want you to know that your pastors have never sat on their hands. They've been busy about the work of the Lord, and they have led by diligently continuing the call. I want to share a few highlights. They've been in vocational ministry for 37 plus years. That's incredible. Because he's only 47. So that is super. They came to Bethel in December of 2000 after serving at Evangel Temple in Gahanna for 8 years as a youth pastor under Pastor Gene Spike. I remember. And before they served 4 years at New Life Assembly of God in Athens under Pastor Bob Bailey. Well done. Annette has worked so many different capacities at the Ohio Ministry Network, serving for 7 years as the administrative assistant to the state youth directors, Doug Clay and Gil Dukeman. She has also worked at Emerge Ministry for a number of years. And please continue to keep her in prayer. I know that God is going to complete a healing work in her body. That's right. They created the annual giveaway outreach that has served thousands of people in Northeast Ohio for the last 15 years, plus, really, it's been maybe more than that. And through this outreach, they have seen hundreds of decisions for Christ. Thank you, God. They built a missions culture here at the church. When they arrived, the church supported 5 missionaries monthly, and now Bethel supports 19 missionaries monthly. Isn't that great? Thank you, Jesus. They also created a back-to-school blessing that serves hundreds of kids from kindergarten through 5th grade. That is awesome. Pastor Phil has preached in Ohio. Listen to this. This is crazy. I did not know this about you, Pastor Phil, till we went ahead and wrangled this up. He has preached in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Florida, South Carolina, Michigan, and Oklahoma. And countries including Russia, El Salvador, that would have been fun in Russia. Do they have good coffee? Do you drink coffee? You don't drink coffee? Oh, I wouldn't have minded if you brought me home some coffee. Russia, El Salvador, Uruguay, and Africa, including speaking to the missionary youth during the General Councils for Tanzania and Kenya. Well done, Pastor Phil. That is so awesome. I love that. He directed the Ohio Youth Leaders Conference for 5 years, and together they directed Family Camp at Heartland for 7 years and served on the Family Camp Committee for 14 years. Now, when we were on it with them, we didn't have an ounce of fun. No, actually, Pastor Phil and I were judges on a America's Got Talent style programming, okay? That there was dangerous. That's all I can tell you. We learned to say those really special things just to us privately instead of in the microphone. But we had the best time, and I'll never forget the one time I thought I was going to just go ahead and share my talent. And I decided to do a cartwheel. Do you remember that? Well, what I didn't, I love, you think that's funny? Well, I love math, just so you know, but the math did not add up that day because these little wrists could not accommodate the rest of me. And as I went into that cartwheel, my wrist just gave out. And I had spotters. I did have spotters. I had my husband and my nephew there. So that's the day I gave up gymnastics. But who knew, right? No, we had a great time serving with you guys. Thank you for those years. We had many years of leading worship together at Family Camp. I mentioned we did the talent show. And he was the head of discipleship for Ohio Youth Ministries for 7 years and was the South Central Youth Rep for 4. And now he has been reelected as your Greater Akron Area Presbyter, where he continues to serve faithfully. Can we just thank them again? Thank you. Listen, this amazing family has served diligently. And now their son Jonathan is following in his dad's footsteps as you so eloquently led worship today. Thank you so much for your heart to continue to say yes. I promise you it'll get you where God wants you to go further faster if you continue to say yes to him. So that is so awesome. I'm so glad that you as a church have taken this day to honor them. Because honor is a culture that is vital to every relationship and every healthy ministry. But at the end of the day, we're not in this for accolades or awards. We're in it because we want to see souls saved and lives changed for for eternity. Amen. So we talked to you about the directive and then the devotion, and now my husband's going to close. I forgot to mention we talked about diligence. Yes. And now my husband's going to close with destiny.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, the destiny is we're bringing this thing in for a landing. No, it's not. But here we go. 1 Timothy 4:16. Look at this. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, look at what he says. You will save both yourself and your hearers. Listen, everybody, can I just remind us that the prize doesn't go to the person who starts the race. It goes to the one who finishes. Amen? And the reality is that we're not running an earthly sprint. We're running a spiritual marathon.
That's right.
Right? That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul said, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Here's the beautiful thing, though. We can all run the race, and we can all get the prize. Amen? That's the beauty of it. He's got enough medals to go around. You know, we were at our SEU, Ohio Regional Campus, and they had a pumpkin bowl and six teams, you know, all playing football. But guess what? There was just enough medals for the winning team. Not everybody got the medal. But I want you to know, we can all get the medal. Amen? There's enough reward to go around for all of us. And so again, we're not in this earthly sprint. We're in a spiritual marathon. And the biggest prize won't be our mansion in heaven, right? It's not going to be walking on the streets of gold. Our biggest prize is going to be meeting our Savior face to face. And hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm just telling you guys, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, well done. Let's remember that we're not just in this for ourselves. We're in it because it's God's will in Christ Jesus that none perish but all receive everlasting life. And friends, Jesus is not one of the ways. He's the only way, right? Heaven is our eternal hope. Jesus is the only way. That's why Luke said in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name by which man can be saved. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to me, church. Allah didn't die on the cross for your sins. Amen? And Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Amen? But I want you to know that Jesus did. He took your sins to the cross. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And there was a lot of people that were crucified and nailed to a cross. And there was a lot of people who were buried. It was Roman. It was literally the crucifixion. That was a term that was coined because it means suffering out of the cross. It was so bad they didn't even have a term for it yet. That's what crucifixion means. There's a lot of people that went through that. But there was only one that rose from the dead. And that's why we've got a blessed hope. Amen? And that's why this message of Jesus matters. That's why Pastor Phil's been preaching this message for 37 plus years. Why? Because he wants people to be ready, because someday soon Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back as the rider on the white horse, and written on his thigh shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we got to be ready, church. Amen? We've got to be ready. There's a destiny. There's a destiny that is before us all. It's based on the decisions we make now. Where are we putting our faith? But if we will put our faith in Jesus Christ, not only can we save us through the work of Jesus Christ, but there's hope in that message to save our hearers as well. That's why they're going to keep preaching the truth. Keep preaching it. Yes. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Keep sharing it. Keep speaking that truth. Keep living it out. And so, Phil and Ed, I want to commend you for 25 years of faithful ministry, offering hope to Talmadge, this community, this greater community of Akron. Thanks for being the head, the hands, and the heart, and the hope of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Thanks for leading. Thanks for loving. Thanks for preaching and teaching the truth. Thanks for giving. Thanks for sacrificing and serving. And thanks for being the real deal to a lost world that needs to see Jesus with skin on. And so before I close in prayer, let me challenge you as well, church. It says in Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as one who must give an account. Someday he's going to stand before God and give an account for the way he pastored and shepherded the church, right? And so this is a challenge to you. Have confidence in them. Submit to their authority. They're keeping watch over you. He says, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Can I challenge you, church? Make his job easy. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep living your life with integrity and purity. Keep serving the Lord. You keep being the hands and feet of Jesus. You keep sharing the message of hope. Make his job easy. And I believe that if you come together as the church, stay together unified. Listen to me. A unified church. We all know that a house divided against itself can't stand. But a house that is unified is a house that the enemy can't stand against. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen? And so let's just keep our eyes on Jesus. I want to ask my wife and Pastor Phil, Annette, Jonathan, would you come and join me this morning up here? I'll come down. First of all, this is just a little something from us to you. We love you, man. We love you. Church. Gotta watch them. Church, would you stand with me across this room? And would you stretch a hand towards your pastors? Come on, we're going to pray over them this morning. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we thank you today, God, for this precious couple, for this family. God, we thank you for Phil and Annette and for Jonathan. And God, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to go before them in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay hands and we extend hands towards them today as a sign of faith that we're agreeing with them. Lord, we're partnering with them. We're standing in the gap with them, Lord. God, I pray that you would give them a double portion of your anointing for the next season of ministry, God. We do believe. We don't just say it. We believe that the greatest days are still ahead. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to give Pastor Phil fresh vision, fresh passion. God, continue to let him have dreams and visions from you, God. Lord, we know without vision, the people perish. And so, God, give him fresh vision for this community, God, for this church as they lead. Lord, I pray that you would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Bless their marriage, Lord. God, I pray, bless their family. Be with Jonathan, Lord, as you continue to raise him up, Lord, to use his gifts and to keep his hands to the plow, Lord. God, today we especially pray for Annette. Lord Jesus, she is wonderfully and fearfully made. And today, God, we speak health and healing over her body, God. Your word says that we could lay hands on the sick and they would be healed. And so, God, whatever's going on in her body and her life, Lord, we pray that you would heal her head to toe, God. Touch every cell in her body, Lord. Every muscle, every tissue, every joint, God. Touch her, every cell, God. Raise her up, Jesus. God, with another incredible testimony of your healing power, God. Because we know we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, Father, bless them, Jesus. Bless them, God. Today, we thank you for what was. We thank you for what is. And we declare that what will come will be even greater. And we thank you for their life and ministry in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Come on, give them one more big hand. They deserve it today.
Praise God. Well, you all have been wonderful. And Pastor Dan, thank you for your message. Thank you for this computer. And yeah, you better take that. So. Please know, when I tell people that we've been here for 25 years, the second thing that I say right after that is how much we love you, and you are just a fantastic church, and we brag about you to our friends, and not every one of my colleagues can say that, but we seriously love you very much, and I'm thankful for what God's done, and we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us in the future. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Then we'll let you go. Jesus, it's been good to be in your house today. And God, the most important person in this room is you.
That's right.
And we look to you, Jesus, and we thank you. You're the one who changes lives. You're the one that guides us. You're the one that leads us. And God, I pray that this entire week, God, it would be devoted in searching you and doing your will and being led and guided by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless our entire week and use us, I pray, in a mighty way this week. In Jesus' name, and we all said amen. Amen. We love you.